Call the meeting to order November 19th, 2024 at 7 p.m. So we'll move into the public hearing first off. So can I have a motion to recess the council meeting and go into public hearing?
I will make that motion.
Okay. All in favor? Okay, so I declare that the public hearing for bylaw 852 is now officially open. The purpose of the public hearing is to redesignate it 303 Pacific Avenue, lots 1 through 4 inclusive, block 2, plan 570X, from residential to commercial to enable the land to be used for future use as a fenced outdoor storage area for vehicles, trailers, and other business-related items. So everybody knows me. So I'm Kim Nichols. This is Sue and Kelly. And we also have with us Steve Hardy with Old Man River Services Commission. So the public hearing is being held tonight in pursuant to the Municipal Government Act as amended. And I will call upon Kelly or Steve to review the nature of the hearing and give an overview of the proposal.
Okay, so this is a land use bylaw amendment from residential to commercial. First reading was given on October 22nd, 2024. We did not send out any notices as the neighboring properties were either owned by the village or the applicant. The advertisement dates for the public hearing were shared in the village newsletter on November the 1st, also posted in the village office, post office, as well as shared on our Facebook page. The overview of the proposal is a request for use of storing registered and insured company vehicles and trailers of the applicant's company. The intent is not to store junk vehicles or junk trailers. The applicant states he will ensure that the property remains orderly looking and states that down the road he may want to fence the property for security purposes of company assets. I have received three written submissions from members of the public. Do I read them all out?
Do you read the letters of submission letters out loud?
Unless there's somebody here that wants to speak themselves.
Okay, I don't. I have. Okay, pardon. I can definitely hear you. All right. So this letter is from a concerned citizen.
Speak loud.
Okay, this letter is from a concerned citizen. There is no name associated to it. I don't know if that's acceptable. So it says, I would like to have council really think and consider all aspects of rezoning this particular piece of property. Number one, because it is a lot on the main street coming into town, I think it sets a bad precedence as it will not look great to be the first thing you see as you come into town. Even if it is fenced, it will be an eyesore. Number two, we already have an industrial area in town. Do we really need another one? Number three, no one keeps the bylaws enforced. Who will monitor this property? When the fence is not completed, or if completed, when it starts to fall apart, will the owner be made to keep it up to a certain standard? We currently have a number of lots in the industrial zone that were never made to meet certain established standards and that are now dilapidated. Do we really need another one right when you come into town? Will a village be the one to be financially responsible if it needs to be cleaned up? The village already does not regulate unsightly yards, let alone unsightly industrial areas. Number four, how tall will this fence have to be to keep all the things that will be stored there to be hidden? It always starts out as it will be used just to house automobiles, etc., but before long, all sorts of other junk is brought into the storage unit. Look, excuse me. Look at the mess the corner lot which sits adjacent to the old garage is. Is this going to end up the same? Signed, a concerned citizen. Did you want to speak to yours, or do you want me just to read it? Okay, so this one is from Sheila Smith, to Carmengate Council and Administration. Thank you in advance for considering my thoughts on this matter. One of Carmengate's best assets is a scenic and uncluttered drive from the highway down Alta Vista, turning off into our downtown area. Carmengate residents take great pride in the beauty of their village. Having a commercial fenced-in storage lot in a residential neighborhood will be unsightly and inappropriate. I strongly object to this rezoning and will also point out that the industrial area is specifically meant for storage. Thank you. And the third one is from Rita Hovde. It says, I am writing to express my concerns regarding the application to rezone a residential lot for commercial use as a, quote, outdoor storage area for vehicles, trailers, and other business-related items. While I support the responsible growth of businesses in our community, I believe this proposal raises significant issues that could negatively impact our neighborhood. Firstly, such a development risks altering the character of our community, which is primarily residential. Increased noise, traffic, and activities associated with an outdoor storage area could disrupt the neighborhood's quiet and safe atmosphere, diminishing the overall quality of life for residents. Secondly, this rezoning application appears to conflict with local planning efforts and may not align with the area's master plan or long-term vision. Changing the zoning could set a precedent for similar requests, potentially undermining careful urban planning and leading to unintended urban sprawl or further incompatible land uses. Finally, I would like to emphasize that our village already offers several industrial-zoned areas specifically designed to accommodate business needs, including outdoor storage. Encouraging businesses to utilize these existing spaces would support economic development without compromising the integrity of residential neighborhoods. I urge the committee to carefully evaluate the potential impacts on our community and to prioritize preserving the residential character of our area when considering this application. Thank you for your attention to this matter. Sincerely, Rita Hufty.
Okay, those have been presented. Now we'll move oral presentations. So we ask that they be brief and to the point and limited to 5 minutes. The order shall be as follows. The applicant who has submitted the request for the bylaw amendment, then the other persons in support of the proposed bylaw amendment, and then thirdly, those persons who have submitted briefs opposed to the adoption of the bylaw amendment. Fourth, those persons who have requested an opportunity to address council in opposition to the adoption of the bylaw amendment, and then any other persons who wish to be heard. So we wish to receive the input from the public. Those making presentations are asked to state their name and review their points rather than ask questions of council. So after each presentation, members of council can ask questions of the presenter to clarify details of the presentation. But we ask that no debating or questions from the floor be allowed. Once everyone has been heard and all written submissions have been acknowledged, we will move to close the public hearing. Okay, so the applicant is not here tonight, so we will move on to any persons in support of the proposed bylaw amendment wish to speak.
I'd like to say something.
Okay, so I just asked you to state your name.
Oh, Steve Sapper.
Okay.
Yeah, I just want to point out that what these people have wrote there, I totally agree with everything.
Okay.
And kind of cut into all the points I wanted to make.
Okay.
And the other thing is that if you want to see what that could look like in the end, just go to the industrial area where all the trucks are and all the traders and everything else. You could have semi-traders in there with storage. You could, all kinds of different things. Could be vehicles all over the place. And also, we have a perfectly good place to do that. And as an example is we have a precedent already on that. When there was a fellow last year or the year before that wanted to fill an empty lot on Armstrong Street with traders and mobile homes. And he was that was rejected, and he was directed by council to put his stuff in the lots in the industrial area, which that is designed to do. And just that, and I do agree with every point that was brought up by these petitions.
Okay. So, anyone else that would be opposed?
My name's Carol Sabrin.
Okay, Carol.
I fully oppose this happening. I love this village. I love when you come driving into town over the tracks. It's beautiful. But to have what was mentioned and what's wanted to put there, it's wrong. That's a residential area.
Okay.
And it so easily could turn people off from wanting to come to our village, which I love. I love our village. And so, yes, I am totally against that point.
Okay. and there's no other people from town that wish to be heard. Sorry, Corny, you don't live in town?
My ears are open, though.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, so... well, we can just skim right down to the bottom. Do you have any questions you want to ask anybody that presented? No? Okay. So, Steve would like to speak.
Yeah, maybe just before you close the public hearing.
Okay.
Just make a few comments.
Okay.
What the applicant wanted to do on his land there, the residential zone obviously doesn't allow, so he had to apply to council for the zoning for the storage aspect. A couple things with the rezoning. One is that council, if they do approve rezoning, you can't put any conditions on it. It's unconditional. You just give them zoning.
Okay.
The development itself, the zoning was successful. They have to apply for development permit for what they want to do. That development permit is a separate process. Outdoor storage facilities, if that's primarily what he's doing, are discretionary use. I have to go to your municipal planning commission. Neighbors get notified. There's an appeal process and that sort of thing. So,
could you speak up, sir? I can hardly hear you. I'm hard to hear.
That
he doesn't speak very loud ever.
The council is just dealing with the rezoning here, whether to approve it or not, and they can't put any conditions at all if they were to approve the rezoning. It's just an approval to go to that zoning. And if it was successful, then the applicant would have to go through a second process of actually applying for a development permit to allow for the use of the storage and the fencing and that sort of thing on the property. So that's a separate process. Council just deals with the rezoning. With that, though, if it does go to the commercial district, that district has a list of uses, things like retail, shops, restaurants, that sort of thing. Number of discretionary uses, which may or may not be approved. Those go to the municipal planning committee. Neighbors get notified. But any of those uses that's in that district, once it's rezoned, are eligible for somebody to apply for it. So one of the things looking at the rezoning is not just what the applicants themselves are maybe proposing to do, but also looking at the zoning in its entirety to see, are there other aspects to that zoning that may occur on that site, especially if they're permitted uses, that you may not want to occur there? Because once it's zoned, anything that's permitted is basically allowed. Discretionary, maybe not so much. But that is part of the parcel that comes with rezoning, is all those uses in there. You're not just dealing with the use they're applying for, but it's any of those uses in the district are potential uses. I just wanted to point that out.
So if it's approved for commercial, then anything that's permitted use can be potentially there.
Yeah.
On that corner. Okay.
Yeah. And the discretionary, they have the right to apply for, and it may or may not. Depending on the process and what's presented to the MPC.
Okay.
So you are dealing with the applicant wanting to do the storage there, to go to that zoning, but if it is rezoned, any of those uses are potential uses on that property, just not what they're applying for. So.
Okay.
And the other thing is to mention as well, on a rezoning, if it was successful, there's no appeal of council decision on that. Unlike a development permit process, there is an appeal that neighbors are afforded, but rezoning, council either approves or doesn't approve, and that basically ends the application. There's no appeal process or anything like that.
Okay. Do you have any questions for Steve?
No.
Thank you, Steve, for that clarification. So then, if no one else has anything to add, do you have anything else to add?
I don't.
Can I have a motion to close the public hearing?
I move to close the public hearing.
Okay.
Do you have times on that?
All those in favor? So we have it down here farther in the agenda.
Yeah.
So, okay. Thank you, everybody, for your input.
One question?
Yes.
How long does the process take before you come to a decision?
We'll make that, probably make that decision today. Well, actually, because Doug's not here, maybe not. But
what was
it? We might not make it tonight because Doug's not here, but it won't be very long.
Yeah.
Doug can't know because he wasn't here.
Okay.
No, I just
so then we'll have a decision tonight.
We'll have a decision.
Well, I was just thinking it's like 2 months or something.
No.
Well, that's great.
45 minutes.
Quickly
and small.
Yep. Okay. So now we will just close that. We'll approval of the agenda.
Is there anything to add, Kelly?
I don't think I do.
I move to approve the agenda.
Okay, all in favor, and that is carried. Tonight we have a guest, Doug Hedrick. The Vulcan County Fire Chief. Welcome, Doug.
Okay. Yeah. So.
Dad lost us your numbers.
You've all had a chance to review this, I'm assuming. And if you haven't...
I just got it today, and I apparently did not forward it on, but I will.
It's very well laid out in the sense of how much it off the UMT is to show the increases and decreases throughout the line by line.
Okay.
I'll do that for you. If you have any questions, I can answer them. What I want to focus on is the overall. So what we did differently this year in the sense, and just to jump to it, budget's gone down by $228. I know it's not a whole lot, but it's been going up. What we did, because that would have went up had we not implemented putting all the wages essentially under 2301 now. So that alleviates the ebb and flows, and which would really be felt here because we have the 1001 running, and each of those members is going to be getting their stipend. They're going to be doing 120 hours of training, right? So if we were to allocate for that expense there, that's almost $20,000 in just their wages for that training, because we do a stipend now instead of hourly. So what we did, because essentially from Milo to Carmengate is all regionalized, we were able to put those regional halls all under one budget, under 2301. So we don't see this anymore, because let's say, you know, usually it's we got pretty good significant amount here for wages, which is all public. It's about $50,000 last year for the wages for the firefighters. If we were to go over that and the other departments, so it just kind of it balances itself out. And what we were finding is when I'm using my AFA instructors and stuff like that, so they come up and that's an 80-hour course, who's got first aid, all that kind of stuff, we're taking that from the district's budget, right? So it's benefiting everyone, so we figured we'll put that all under one budget so that it equaled out in a sense. And we're able to absorb those significant changes. So we subtracted that out. We got a couple big projects going on this year. Essentially, SCBAs need to be changed out. So 2025, I think that's... can't say the number allowed because it hasn't been awarded yet, but it's more than a truck, we'll say.
Oh, wow.
And that will be replacing them all throughout the... throughout the whole county, so every member.
Each department has six SCBAs, and potentially with this new buy-in, we're each getting masks, our own masks.
Yeah, every member will have their own SCBA mask, which is, I've been an advocate for that forever, because it's gross.
I don't want the sweaty guy's mask.
and a fit's a huge thing, too. When we were just... in the past, we just mediums given to everyone. So essentially what we see here for you guys, last year, looking at about, when we look at total expenses, 108, 158, or 105, and then you add on the allocations and whatnot, would bring it to 191, 899. We got it down by removing those wages down to 158, 868, and then obviously the Mark does his thing, adds all back in. So net hit to you guys would be that $18,825 for the village.
Money well spent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, they're doing great. Lots of training. Like they're over there right now doing their 470. That's just the tip of the iceberg for them coming up here. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, if you want me to answer any questions on the line by line, it's there. No real change. No real big purchases this year for. For Garmin, they just had a couple big ones where they got that trailer, which the association purchased. And then we rebought the rope rescue equipment and stuff like that. So we're just now starting to get that trailer put together with more equipment coming. It's just backward. So, yeah.
Nice. Good stuff. Well, thank you for decreasing the budget
a bit.
I was watching the Calgary City budget. Thank you.
I have a question, but I don't think it's council related. It's fire department related.
Okay. Well, that's fine.
Livestock handling with that call this morning, is that something we're still looking at for Carmody?
Yeah, and actually, I just, so we did have that, we were talking about it earlier. There used to be the capability of just calling out the livestock trailers. We realize today it's not that easy anymore. It goes to your 1-800 number to someone in Edmonton, and they kind of dispatch it out wherever it's at. Didn't work. So we had shootings end up bringing something out. And we were talking about that prior. So yes, I've started engaging like our ag department and all that kind of stuff. And probably going to go down and talk. If ag doesn't want to do something with it, we'll probably end up going down and talking to shooting department. Asking.
Mm-hmm. So yeah.
You can strike that from the minutes.
It's all recorded.
Nobody listens. Yeah, because, like, well, I'll talk about it later.
Yep.
That's fire department stuff.
Okay.
Any questions on the
budget? Anybody want to ask the fire guy anything?
Okay.
Well, thank you, Doug.
Well, that was easy. See you again next year.
Yeah.
Okay. Same time, same
place. Yeah.
Thanks.
All right, so moving on to question period. Does anyone have anything that they want to ask? No? Okay. Approval of the minutes of Tuesday, October 22nd, organizational meeting of council. Any errors or omissions? I didn't see any. Okay. I'll make a motion to approve organizational meeting minutes. All in favor? Carried. The regular council meeting minutes of October 22nd. Any errors or omissions? I didn't see any there either.
I will make a motion to accept the regular council meeting minutes.
Okay. All in favor, and that is carried. Public Works report. Scott's done a lot with water.
Yeah. Hoping that's the end.
Is everything kind of all good now there?
Yes and no.
Okay.
It's all running. Everything's done. There's a couple last, like, small items that they're waiting on that are back-ordered, I guess, that just need to be installed. But the majority of the project is done, yeah. There's just some
tweaking
of the system, but everything's working, so.
And then the arborist guy, has he been in to show Scott? I didn't see him.
No, the arborist came in and chopped down two trees that were damaged in windstorms here and or there and there on these couple streets. But he hasn't been in yet to do, like, all the major trimming and everything, okay. So that's not until the new year. He was booked up until after Christmas. So.
Okay.
I'm not on public works.
Okay, so we'll move on to admin report. Are we, McNally, I'm guessing, is not coming to tell?
He never did reply to my last email saying, can you at least get the sidewalks done? So apparently.
It's probably not going to happen now.
Yeah, no.
No, now it's too cold.
No.
Okay.
So they will be, he told me, first thing in the spring once it's workable, we'll get the asphalt patching done, the crack filling, and the sidewalk repair.
Okay.
Keep on them.
Yes.
Okay. That was the only question I really had. I seen the furnace guys in there.
Yes, Sheila?
I'm trying to fit this in. The APCO franchise fee when you're there, I just want to thank you so much. Making that decision of reducing the franchise fee by 10%.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's very beneficial to the community.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you. All right, so we'll move on to correspondence. Mm-hmm. Oh, do you want to approve the reports?
I will make a motion to approve those reports.
Okay, all in favor? And that is carried. Correspondence? None, so we'll move on. Or did you have anything?
Well, I only had two quick things that came in a little bit late. One is just a letter from ORSC just letting us know that the annual membership contribution fee is going to increase, but there's no dollar value associated to it. It's just kind of a heads up. And then another one is South Grow is asking for a letter of support to help with their grant application for funding for their program, basically. So there's just a draft.
Just a letter of support?
Just a letter of support, no financial anything.
But I like.
So I didn't add it to the agenda because it just came in today. But okay. Do you want me to add it in and make a motion?
Sure,
or do you
we'll
want to
put
just
it in
new business? Okay. Sorry.
No, that's okay. So we'll move on to the financials. Cash position as of October 31st. Things are looking all right.
Yes.
I panicked when I seen 28,000 in utilities owing, but then I realized
it was a billing cycle.
It was a billing month, so it's like, what happened?
Our current cash on the 31st was 140, and our current cash now is 85.
I believe that
Waste Commission.
Our big Waste Commission payment was finally. We just decided to e-transfer it because the checks. So
Canada
there's three
Post
checks.
Probably lost
in July. There's three checks since June, July that haven't been cashed. Okay. So we canceled those checks and e-transferred the funds. So that was just about $65,000.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yes.
I didn't see anything out of the norm.
No.
Other than I see Scott's gone over on fuel now.
Yes.
What the heck?
I know.
Gave him
trouble.
Can't have anything to do with the cost of fuel going up.
No.
Do you have any concerns?
No, I don't think so. About the water, how they're, the way they're changing their things, how does that change our?
We'll have to discuss it. I have numbers in the budget, but we might have to change the bylaw to add in that extra money that they're wanting for capital contributions every month. So, but yeah, we can definitely discuss.
Can make a motion to accept the financial as presented.
Okay, all in favor? And that is carried. The AMWWP project update.
So it's almost done. There's just those few last things that they need to install. I was told this week that they'd be in, but I haven't heard, so I'm assuming shipping delays. I don't know.
So on a side note, the
yep.
fire department last week basically did a test to see how things were running. We did two hydrants. So before we knew that the worst hydrant in town was the one on Armstrong Street at the very end. So by Nels Peterson's house. We knew that was the bad one. And when we tested it when it was bad, we could run 138 line, one and a half inch line off of that hydrant. Last week, Tuesday, we ran 3 2.5-inch lines off of it. And it held up. So,
nice.
Well
good
spent.
News.
Yeah. Yeah. And nobody called to say they had
and
no pressure.
Nobody said, yeah. Afterwards, was looking at Facebook to see if anybody was complaining on there, because
yeah.
that's where it always went.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nobody said anything. So, and Scott was at the water plant watching the numbers, and he said it was Nothing went crazy.
Yep, and the pumps kicked in like they were supposed to. The fire pump fired up and added pressure to the system, so everything,
nice.
Everything worked.
Yay.
Yes.
Okay, so year-end financial audit.
They are still not done. I have gone back and forth with them. The last email that I got was on the 5th of November, saying that they were almost done, and they're apologizing for the delay, but hopefully the partner was going to have the file to review later that week, which was, I guess, 10 days ago, 12 days ago. Still haven't heard, so I will follow up again tomorrow.
It's already getting into where we need to.
Normally, we have our interim audit at this time, so
Is there anybody above the person working on it that we can go to?
Only the guy Will that's going to review it, but he's been gone. Each time that I've contacted them, it's almost ready to go to Will, but Will's been away. But that's been over the course of like 5 or 6 weeks. So I don't know. We've had phone calls from Municipal Affairs saying, we haven't got your financials, and I said, I understand that. So, and we can't get any grant funding until our financials are submitted. So,
I don't know how to light a fire under them, but we need to.
I don't know either. Like, yeah. But I will.
I guess that's not very nice. I was going to say, could you email Will and CC Municipal Affairs and just say, when are we getting our grant funding's contingent on getting the funds?
I said that to the last guy, but yeah.
I don't know. I mean, we should have had it in May or June, and it's now November.
Yeah.
I mean, is it possible to withhold payments until?
Yeah.
Well, we've gotten two hefty bills in the last 2 months for work that they've done on it, so. I don't know.
Well, okay.
Okay. LGFF grant.
Same situation. The projects are submitted, waiting for approval, but our audited financials haven't been submitted, so they won't approve our projects or give us any money. So, waiting on that.
HVAC.
We got it last week, and it is working fabulously.
We have heat throughout the
building. The whole building is warm. They put in new cold air return piping into the back and into the post office, so theoretically, it will even out the heat issue, and hopefully we're all comfortable.
I laughed because Lorraine said, the postmaster said to me, one minute you're like freezing cold, and the next minute it's so hot. I was like, it should get better. They're getting a new furnace.
Welcome to gardening.
Yeah. Fire hydrant testing. Oh.
So we actually had a company come out and do hydrant testing on the 31st of October. I don't have, how long does it normally take for a report? Do you know?
I don't know. I asked Scott last week, actually.
Yeah.
I thought it should be back yet.
Okay, I can follow up with them. I meant to do it today, and I just got down a rabbit hole. So
we should be getting a copy, too. So.
Okay. But, yeah, that should be good.
Alberta Community Partnership Grant.
I've heard nothing about that one, but it's been submitted, so that's just for information.
Okay. ATCO franchise fee.
So that was just an update that the advertisement was put in the November or the October.
November.
The November. That's wrong. November newsletter, advertising the decrease from 15% down to 5%. So, I guess there's a time frame for complaints or whatever, but. I've heard nothing, so I'm 10%. Assuming everyone's in favor of it. So that should start January 1st.
Awesome.
All right. New business. Yeah, so you want to do that South Grove letter?
Do you want to do it last or start?
Okay.
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Yeah. So new business, bylaw number 852, land use redesignation bylaw. So. We want to discuss on this, or I think it's been very
pretty clear what the public thinks.
How the public feels about rezoning it.
Yes, yeah. Sorry.
So,
and just to clarify, if we deny this, they can not necessarily this applicant, but down the road it can be applied for again if they wanted to change it.
Yeah, they have to wait. Bylaws 6 months to 12 months to
reapply.
Somebody reapplied for the same or similar rezoning use. But there's a waiting period,
right,
or something.
I'm just thinking, like, if somebody decided they wanted to put up, I don't know, store there or something, they'd have to rezone. If it wasn't already rezoned, they'd have to rezone, and if we had denied it, then it would never be allowed to be rezoned. I just wasn't sure if that was.
I know the counties was 6 months. I just remember that from Summerland.
Oh?
When the colony was trying to expand.
Right.
I think ours might be 6 months.
Six months.
6 months? Okay.
I mean, I don't think there's not even water there or anything, is there? Is it?
No.
Not feasible for.
Okay, so we do the reading and then defeat it. So, do you want to move ahead with that? Sure.
All right. I will make the motion. Second reading of Bylaw 852, Bylaw in the Village of Parmagee in the Province of Alberta, to amend Bylaw Number 742, the Municipal Land Use Bylaw, to redesignate lots 1 through 4 inclusive, Block 2, Plan 570X, also known as 303 Pacific Avenue, from residential to commercial.
All in favor? All opposed? And it is defeated. So then it stays as residential. We don't need to do anything else with that, right, Steve, once it's defeated? Okay, I lost my place. Oh, here we are. Okay. Interim budget.
So I couldn't fit it in because it's too big into the minute for the agenda. I basically provided council with a spreadsheet showing our 2024 budget, our 2024 actuals up to last week, what we have in our general ledger accounts, and then I have a proposed 2025 interim budget based on where we are right now, more or less. Some of the numbers have changed, and I have notes along the margin there of why.
The one thing I had was the gravel and the dust abatement. We haven't
gotten a bill for dust abatement yet. So
okay.
I know that they were very late finishing Champion because the supplier ran out of whatever the stuff is they abate with. And so I'm wondering if it's just everything's delayed.
Okay.
Moving forward. I don't know.
Maybe the county gave everybody a Christmas present
Maybe.
This year. Should have had more
That's
roads
interesting.
Done.
Okay, but if you haven't gotten one either, then.
Well, I never used it before. This year was the first time. I don't need a bill yet.
No. Okay.
But I don't think we need to go through this one.
No.
Right now,
no.
But, our solar revenue is not as high as we expected.
It is not. No. So, where is it? We will have one more payment that will probably come in January, I'm thinking, for this year. But it might be close to 40,000 like it was projected. But so that's why I dropped it to 38 for next year, because I just don't know. We're still on the 30 cents per kilowatt hour sell rate, like that we make, but yeah, I don't know. And then the only real big change is, we can talk about Twin Valley, because I do have them down here further. Can we cover that right now in the interim?
Sure.
Okay. So Twin Valley Regional Water Commission has voted to change the way that they bill communities. Previously, they have charged us a per cubic meter charge and then an administration fee, as well as payments that we have to make on debentures that the commission has taken out over the years to put in the systems, I guess. So now they are proposing, has it passed or is it a proposal? Do you know?
I think they passed it.
Okay.
Last meeting.
So right now our water rate to Twin Valley is $2.03 per cubic meter. They are increasing that to $2.87 per cubic meter, but that covers all of the other expenses that we previously paid out every quarterly or whatever. So on top of that, so that'll cover everything that we've normally paid, but on top of that, they have a new requirement for capital planning, and they are asking every community on the commission to contribute $37,500 each year, which will be paid monthly. The monthly breakdown is $3,125 a month. So that's over and above anything that we currently pay. I guess their auditor said that they don't have
a big enough capital reserve.
Piggy bank? Reserve, thank you, that's the word. So they need to build that over the next few years, and we all contribute equally. So
on the interim budget, you had, there was a credit for $6,700.
So
for debenture, but then, so that part all goes down, but then we get $37,500.
So they're still honoring our credit, because that would come off twice a year, because you know better than I do why we get that credit. Something about something that transferred in from the village to the commission. No? I thought you knew. We're the only ones that get it. It's a credit on our bill. So anyways, we will get that still. But
no.
I thought you knew about
it. I thought you were going to explain it.
So right now, I base the budget number on the estimated usage that the commission gave us for 2024. So it goes up a little bit every year, but they estimated for 2024 that we would use 33,622 cubic meters. So I use the 287 per cubic meter amount, and that's where that comes from, plus the 37,500 annual capital contributions. I did decrease the Sampson Water Services salaries because Scott has signed up and started his water and wastewater ticket, so I am very hopeful that we can cut that expense out shortly.
So in actual fact, if my math is right, that with the 37.5 increase, the difference is like 16,000 overall?
I have about $11,000 increase.
Okay.
But yes, actually, yes, you're right, based on what I have in the budget. A second option we can look at is, right now we charge residents $47 a month for our admin fees. If we up that to $50 a month, that would bring in another just about $6,000 in revenue, so that drops the overage a little bit, the shortage, I mean. So.
Okay.
But right now I have the budget balanced.
Yeah, within $8, she did well.
$8.
She did very well.
So, I mean, things will shift over the next couple months, mm-hmm. I'm sure, once other commissions and stuff start sending in their budgets and for our requisitions and things like that.
Yeah.
But as of right now, I think the as is.
Are you looking at for us to approve this?
We have to before December 31st. So I don't know if you want to wait until Doug's back next month and pass it, or if you want to do it right now, and then that's your call.
Do you see our water bill going up?
Potentially.
Sure. Has there been any change since the last increase where we had a lower consumption and higher rate? Like, did you see any difference in water use?
We brought in... let me look at my numbers.
This year was a tough year because we had water restrictions off and on so much.
Yeah.
And it was just a few months.
May 1st is when it started. So the first billing cycle that impacted would have been your July 1st bill. So, yeah. We did notice a difference in the way that the revenue came in for the flat fee. The first three billing cycles were all over $20,000 in revenue, and then in July, September, and November, they were between $13,000 and $14,000. So that's that $47 fee rather than the flat fee that we were charging before with the included water with it. Our usage revenue did increase, obviously. January, March, and May were all under $2,500 per cycle. July was $6,800, September was $14,000, and November was $6,700. So, give and take, I guess it comes out of one side and goes into the other more or less. But
so, did you say $238?
For which $287?
Pardon?
The commission is charging $287. Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, I can do some fancy spreadsheets for the next meeting if we want to look at different billing options.
Yeah. So that $37,000, is that optional?
No.
How can they just arbitrarily add that on?
I'd like to know that.
Yeah. I just get the numbers.
Just because they didn't manage their money to be able to budget a reserve, then they're sucking it to us.
Mm-hmm. The last couple of years, like the first year I was there, I don't even remember, $1.90 something was the water cost.
Yeah.
And they realized then, probably in my first few meetings there, they realized then that they were not making reserves. They needed to, so then they raised it, and the meeting we went to, we raised it, and then Town of Vulcan came back and said, we're raising all the wages and we're doing this, and that's on the commission's hook as well. So then they had to go back to another meeting and raise it again. And then they were supposed to, I haven't been to a couple meetings because I've been at work, but the thought process was that we were going to raise it like 10% a year. And I don't know where this whole new billing scheme has come out of.
Is Stephanie still director?
Yeah. The information I got about this was it was on advice of their auditors that they needed to...
But your auditors can recommend doesn't mean you got to take the bait.
Yes, it says the commission has been told by our auditors over the past few years that our reserves have been lacking. The board felt this was an equitable way to share the cost of building the capital plan for the foreseeable future. So, and all the members are invoiced the same, correct? Everybody has to pay the $37,500? Yeah.
Do you want to table it to the bugs back, or do you want to just vote on it tonight?
The budget?
Yeah.
I think the budget's, the interim budget's fine. It can be voted on tonight.
I think so.
Okay. I will move to accept the 2025 interim budget as presented.
All in favor? And that is carried. The Horticulture Society request.
Do you want to speak to it? Do you know anything about it?
I know nothing.
Okay.
I haven't been to a meeting in months.
Okay. I don't know if I need to read the whole email, but so they are requesting permission to use the former Blade site on Pacific Avenue to start a tree nursery.
they would like to use that location because of water access and are looking for information on what species of trees would be ideal for replacements. They would like to start a nursery so that they can help contribute to replacing any old, dying, broken trees around town. And they would also like to replace any boulevard trees that are not appropriate species for the area.
They're asking us what species of trees?
Well, I don't know. They're looking for permission to have a tree nursery there, and then basically what kind of trees we would like as the village, I think, is more.
I don't really like that spot for a tree nursery.
I'm concerned about deer and, you'd have to fence it, I would think, to keep the deer
out. And then it goes again with right beside where it's not going to be commercial, it's going to stay residential. Now you have a tree, and we'd have to provide water there.
It's not even changed to public.
Yeah. So, I mean,
apparently there is water there. I don't know for sure.
There's the water at the line we just spent money on pushing past.
Yeah. Okay.
So we would have to hook onto that line.
Okay. The applicant thought there was a hydrant there with water.
No.
Okay.
There's a gas line there.
Oh. Okay.
But there was no water. There was no water on that street until this water upgrade we did.
Okay.
I mean, a tree nursery is a great idea. I think that there's a better. We could find a better spot, even in the Lions Campground, if we could have a corner or something. Then it's partly fenced off, and they have lots of water there.
That was actually going to be one of my grant suggestions for next year, was to start a tree program and put grant money towards irrigating and fencing and buying trees and taking care of them. But maybe we can do a partnership with them on a different location. And
yeah, I like that idea.
We can provide some of the infrastructure if they want to do the work. And
so can we just table this for now, find a more suitable spot? All in favor? Okay. Twin Valley Regional Water Commission rates. Kind of went over that one. Employee benefits renewal.
I had a meeting with our Alberta Municipalities representative last week. And last year, our benefits program increased by 24.84%. Which was a massive, massive jump. This year, and he actually told me to expect that same increase this year because of the use on our plan far, far, far outweighs the amount we pay into our plan on our village contributions. They changed how their billing structure is done, and now it's more spread out amongst other municipalities, I guess, or amongst the whole group. So our increase this year was only 9.79%. So we are continuing, as long as council's fine with that. 20% is paid by the employee, 80% is paid by the village. The village cost is about $1,933 a month for those benefits. That includes basic life, dependent life, short-term and long-term disability, health coverage, vision, dental.
It's a lot better than what it was.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's a good benefit to have, so, or a good program to have. It covers a lot, so that's that.
Elections Alberta.
So we were sent this agreement to share data between the village and the Office of the Chief Electoral Officer of Alberta. Under Bill 20, I believe it was, the government's changing how election or electoral information is collected, stored, shared, and everything. So my understanding is we have to sign this data sharing agreement with Elections Alberta. They will then send us the information that they have, compare it, I believe, against our data that I think ORS is going to send on our behalf from our GIS system, because they need like specific locations and who lives where, and not just addresses, but like longitude and latitude, and it's a lot of information they're looking for that I don't really understand. But then it will be up to the village to maintain that list, so I really don't know how that looks for an office of two people to keep that kind of information up to date and secure and able to be shared with who needs it in an election cycle. So I'm hoping more information will come out about that, but we do need to sign this data sharing agreement. And Jamie Thomas from ORSC has said that we can put him as a third party, a third party applicant, and he will supply all of the required
information,
geographic information and things like that. So that's basically what that is.
Okay. So we need a motion to...
Yes, I think we need a motion.
Motion on that. The end or just...
No, okay. This is just the document I have to sign.
Okay. So can I have a motion to sign the data sharing agreement with Elections Alberta?
Okay. I will make that motion.
Okay. All in favor? And that is carried. All right. Moving on. Reports.
ORSC? Nope. South Crow.
Oh, sorry. South Crow. The letter. Okay.
I can pull this out quickly. Okay. Okay, basically South Grow is looking for a letter of support from municipalities for their grant applications that they're doing to support the proposed community economic development planning and implementation project being advanced by the South Grow Regional Initiative. Basically, they've said there's no money ask, they just want a letter of support, and they have a draft letter already written.
I move we send a letter of support to South Grow.
All those in favor? That is carried.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay. ORSC reports.
ORSC meeting is December.
December when, sorry?
Sorry. Kim, quick call.
I know. I'm sorry. Hear you.
The Marquis. There's all my notes. The rent and parking, and that has gone up. And the
rest of the PDO.
And here, there's a slight increase in all the units. Sorry, Philkin District Solid Waste. There's my report. working on the budget. It's table. We have a meeting tomorrow night, so. One of the big things is the egg chem containers. They're no longer accepted at the transfer stations. And so this Clean Farms, they have to go back, and their concern is that some of the places where people buy the chemical is close to schools and playgrounds, like some of the dealerships. Mm-hmm. And so at least if they were at transfer sites, it was a containment site. But now somebody from Toronto has made the decision that they need to go back to where they were bought from. Oh. And so, yeah. South Grow.
Doug's not here.
Twin Valley Regional Water Services Commission. We've seen the budget. Mayors and Reeves of Southern Alberta. I wasn't able to make it that day. I was making pies. I forgot about the meeting, actually. Falcon County Regional Emergency Partnership Committee.
There's been no meeting.
Okay. FCSS.
I don't know if Doug went because I'm not on that committee.
Okay. Oh, that's right. There's no communication meeting. So.
No.
All right. So, can I? With that, we need to move into closed session. FOIP Section 16. So, can I have a motion to move us in?
I will move that we go into closed session at 7:57.
Okay. Thank you, Steve.
You have a good night.
I don't know what you're going to do with the Humphreys thing.